Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Thank you so much for being with us as we study together God's Word this morning, going into the second half of our conversation, looking here to understand more in our scripture spotlight, that is what God has in store for us. So we want to invite you to be a part of this discussion, looking at what is the importance, all right? What does this matter? Why is it so valuable, this idea of understanding God in this context, right? So we want to say, come through, let's share, let's enjoy each other and enjoy what God has in store for us as we go through this space together. And joining us this morning as we discuss is going to be our elder, Babu Carolus, who's going to be sharing with us from God's Word, especially in the application phase of the lesson we've been having. In case you just joined us and you've missed out, don't worry, that conversation is available as a podcast. So you can visit our platforms, sidmedia.org, or on our very own application, which you can download from your store. So yeah, we're looking at the Lord's Supper. Now, communion is the perfect time to be thinking about how we can grow in Christ and best honor Him in our lives and with our lives. If we're living a faith of what Jesus did and continues to do for us, He counts us as worthy. He wants us to joyfully celebrate the Lord's Supper, right? Because remember, it's a joyous occasion. Christ has done it for us. And so we're going to be trying to see how you can be invited to participate. You can be invited to be a part of this conversation. You can be invited to share in terms of what this is all about. And that's our discussion this morning. Elder Carolus, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, Derek, and it's good to be back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us this week. We've gone through the gist of what the lesson is all about. Now it's time to say, okay, how do we apply these matters that we've been learning, and how do we make them practical in our very own lives? Now, the question that usually comes through about the communion service is, does it take the place of Passover? You were saying something, there's a relationship yesterday. Is what now we're doing in place of Passover?
It definitely takes place during the institution of the Lord's Supper, takes place during the Passover meal.
Okay.
As we see in Matthew 26, that it was while they were eating this Passover meal, mm-hmm. that Jesus took the bread and we washed their feet, and also gave the wine.
Okay.
And so we know that the Passover did two things. The Passover was to remind people, the Israelites, from where God had brought them out of,
all
the
right.
land of Egypt.
All right.
Also pointing then to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. So the Passover had a twofold meaning. Remember where I've taken you from, and remember what I'm coming to do for you. Okay, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And so that was the Passover. At this point, the communion or the Last Supper ordinance is more of a fulfillment of what was promised at the Passover years back in Egypt. And so as the Passover had a twofold meaning, pointing back and then also forward, mm-hmm. the same way with the communion, it also points back to what Jesus has done, saving us from sin, mm-hmm. but also points forward to what you will do in saving us from this world.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't want to say it took the place of the Passover. I'd like to say it was a fulfillment of the Passover. Mm. And then, of course, the Passover comes to an end. And now we have this beautiful ceremony that Jesus institutes to continue the broader salvation plan. And that is to save us from our sins, but also to save us from a sinful world.
Beautiful stuff. And thank you so much for that. And I think you can see those similarities, but also the differences, like you were saying. I mean, Passover happened on a particular day at a particular space.
Yeah.
And here
That's
Christ
right.
is saying, do it often, which means it's not just only at a particular time. But talking about the similarities, though, when you look at the Passover at its institution, the symbolism was quite apparent, and a default in applying it and then celebrating it was detrimental to not only one's salvation walk, but actually one's very life. I'm talking about how God said, when you kill this lamb, make sure you put the blood on the doorpost. Otherwise, the angel of death won't pass over, right? Pass over. It will then visit you, and people will not be saved alive when he has done his job. And I want to just bring this to our life today to say, looking at the vital nature, the importance of the Passover, is that supposed to be the same understanding to say, when we now partake in the Lord's Supper, are we now doing that where this is almost an identification mark, so to speak? When Christ then comes, he knows those who are his, and those who have been running away from the Passover service, he will say, hey, Baba, the angel of death must visit because you don't have the blood. Is that supposed to be the similar approach here as well?
Well, I'd like to think of the importance of what the importance is to the believer,
okay,
rather than the consequences, you know, of not doing it.
Okay, okay.
It's actually the same thing if you think about it, because, you know, God knows us, Derek, and he knows that we are prone to forget.
Certainly.
You know, that's why the important things he tells us to remember, like the Sabbath, the Sabbath. Mm. Why? Because we may forget the importance of what the Sabbath means.
Yeah.
And in the same way, with the communion, with the Last Supper, it is there for us to remember. And when we remember things, we attach our memories are normally attached to certain things, like symbols. You know, a girlfriend may be missing her boyfriend, and there's a little teddy that he bought her. You know, and then when she sees the teddy, she thinks
of him.
You know, maybe someone had died, and we remember them through symbols that is attached to their memory. And the same way, the symbols of the ordinances also remind us of what Jesus has done. And when I remember, you know, then I don't want to go back. That's what the chorus is. When I remember what the Lord has done, I won't go back. It also gives us hope, because Jesus says that in doing so, we are always pronouncing and professing and proclaiming and believing that he's coming again. You know, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Yep. There's a promise there. There's hope. It gives us faith, and it renews commitment, you know, when we partake. It also brings unity. This is the importance. You know, we're not islands in this journey of faith.
Yeah.
It brings us together. We spoke about how people from different classes, status, race, language all come together for the same thing, to remember what Jesus had done, and also to look forward to and being together. You know, in the book of Acts, when they came together to break bread, they were all unified. There was this oneness within them. And then, of course, personally, it is a moment for spiritual cleansing and reflection, because Paul tells us that we must examine, let each man examine himself, you know. And so, so there's a lot of meaning. And Jesus institutes the Last Supper so that we always have reminders of this beautiful plan of salvation.
So important, so important. Well, thank you so much for that. Now, speaking about this vital importance then, and if it's so imperative upon our lives, I was just sharing with the listeners earlier on that how do we then apply it in today's day where we've got virtual services? And I know there are people who are actually advocating for virtual churches, where that's the church structure in entirety. We only meet online. There's no need to be physical. How do you practice this in such as, do you wash your own feet? How does it work then?
You can't do this by yourself.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I think when you see how Jesus did it, there's something that brings about. We take foot washing, for instance. It represents the humble life that Jesus lived.
Yes.
Humility. It's just cleanliness when you wash your own feet.
You can't be humble to yourself.
You don't bow down to yourself, you know. not that we bow down to people, but you don't bow in front of someone.
Yeah.
I mean, of yourself to wash your feet. No, there has to be that other person. Now, of course, we've learned the last few years, you know, how quickly things can change in the world, and how we need to adapt to the things. So I like the fact that we adapted. Let me say that, you know.
Okay.
where families were washing each other's feet while online with other families and so on. But as long as that is second best,
okay.
You should always try to do what's best. The Bible says it's about coming together, being in the same place, one accord. You know, that's the best or the ideal is always what we strive for.
Yeah.
Circumstances may cause us to do what's second best or ideal, regardless of circumstances. But the best for the ordinances and for the ceremony is to come together. Why? Because by coming together, we know that we're not in this alone. By coming together, we are able to encourage one another. Mm-hmm. By coming together, we are able to also forgive and ask for forgiveness, you know, from each other. And where are we coming to? We're coming to Jesus. It's not necessarily to a church or to a building, but we are coming at the invitation of Jesus, you know, come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden.
Yes.
And if we come to him, the closer we get to him, the closer we also get to each other. Yes. Spiritually, but also physically. And Paul tells us that we, again, don't neglect, don't forget the coming together of the brethren. So, yes, sometimes circumstances, as we've seen, does not allow us to go the full journey of the example. But as long as we don't replace the ideal with the not so ideal.
Yeah, for convenience's sake. And I think it almost applies to the same. I think we were talking about baptism in our previous lesson, that's the same concept, right? That yes, if you don't have opportunity to be baptized, you can still be saved. But you can't then say, I know, because sometimes people get saved without being baptized. I don't need this thing.
Yeah.
You know, that can't be the approach. I want us to follow this idea of fellowship that you're bringing across. And then looking at, I know that sometimes it becomes a responsibility of the deacons, but maybe even as brothers keepers, what should we do whenever we meet together to break bread and to wash the feet and to take the blood of Christ? We notice that, hey, there's this brother, this sister who is always saying, I'm not partaking. No, I'm not ready for now. What should we do? Do we have a responsibility? I mean, after all, it's Paul, like you were saying, says examine yourself. They've examined themselves and they're realizing, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
Should that concern us? What should we do?
Some people don't partake simply because they don't understand. And I think
yesterday we
spoke to that.
Yes.
You know, if someone understands what the foot washing means, if they understand what the bread and the wine symbolizes and our partaking makes us one with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that, you may want to then reconsider taking or not taking part.
Okay.
But there are people, as you say, who do feel unworthy. They may have done something wrong and they feel ashamed or discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And now we do definitely have a duty. You know, Paul says we must restore people with a spirit of kindness, of gentleness, you know, in Galatians chapter 6. He shows how we have a responsibility to our fellow brothers and sisters. Reassure them, Derek, we should reassure them that Jesus welcomes you regardless of what you have done. And even if you are broken, a beautiful promise in Isaiah 42 verse 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break.
Mm.
Jesus is not going to pour salt onto your wounds, or he's not going to kick a dog while it's down, you know.
Yeah.
No, what he wants is, it's not for those who seem to be perfect, you know, or consider themselves to be perfect. No, the communion, the cross, remember, it's about the cross. It's there for all.
Mm.
It is for people who need grace, and it's Jesus that says, come to me. If you are weary, if you are ashamed, if you are burdened by the cares of life and by sins that has gotten you down, come to me.
Come to me.
I want to give you rest. I want to give you the opposite of what you are going through.
Yep.
So, I want to restore you. So do come if you are at home and you're thinking, you know, it's almost communion time again this year for many of you.
Yep.
Do not be assured, rather, that Jesus is there for you to change your situation. you know, and without him, we can do nothing. So don't wait till you have fixed whatever. No, come to Jesus, allow him to fix it for you.
Amen, amen, amen. Allow him to sort it out. And he is willing to do that, to work it out. Dada, let's wrap up then to say, I mean, we've always heard this term, prepare for communion. You were talking about it again today. Examine yourself. What does preparation look like? And like you're saying, people are about to do it again, and it's always good to be prepared. What does that look like? Maybe talk to us as we wrap up.
Yeah, I'd like to link this to the previous one by saying that someone who has decided not to because they feel unworthy, I think they've already done much of the preparation. Yes. Because they've looked at themselves, you know, they've looked at themselves and they've examined themselves. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. So they've done the examining. The only thing is that, yes, we should look at ourselves and our situation and where we've gone wrong. We should examine ourselves, whether we are still in the faith, Paul says. And we should. But the next step is to now look to Jesus because we need a solution. We need to look to Jesus. And this is...
Maybe to just cut you there, Elder. This fact that you're raising, that after I've looked at myself and I've seen, I'm unworthy, that is what makes me the perfect candidate for this communion service, actually.
You've done the preparation. You've done it already, you know. You've examined yourself. You know, it's just about the next step. Yeah. And the next step, when you come to Jesus... He will also say, okay, so you've wronged that brother. You know, let's go and make it right to that brother. He becomes that elder that you take with you to go and sort out things with your brother or with your sister, you know. So, come expecting to meet Jesus in a fresh, meaningful way every time. The Lord's Supper or communion is not just an event or a ceremony. It is actually an experience. With Jesus, and that sets the tone for the period of your life until the next communion.
Beautiful stuff. Indeed, it should be that connector, and we need that from oftentimes, right? I mean, we live in a world of sin, and if we're not getting cleansed by the communion service, what are we getting cleansed by? What are we utilizing to get cleansing? Because already when we walk the dusty streets of life, our feet are bound to get dirty, and we need to ensure that they are washed on a regular basis. Thank you so much, Mdala. Appreciating you so much for taking us through this lesson. We've learned so much. We've been edified. And I pray that somebody has been encouraged, that when the next communion service, because of their faith in Jesus, they will be partaking.
Amen.
May God bless you. Until we shall again next time.
Thank you. Thank you, Derek. It's a privilege and a blessing.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. That's our elder, Babu Karolas, who has been joining us this week, taking a look at this very important subject, understanding what communion service is all about, the Lord's Supper, as we say. And the invitation, very simple. It's for you. It's designed for you. Make sure that you participate.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.